Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Sports Kings podcast here on iHeartRadio. I'm your host, Mean Gene, the Sports Machine. Today, I will be talking about the NBA playoffs 2020. And, of course, I'm like the rest of you. I hope that we get to see some NBA basketball. And it is really looking like we are. This Thursday, the NBA Board of Governors will vote on a resolution to resume the rest of the season. So we're going to be talking about that, as well as the NBA owners, the NBA Coaches Association, and teams express outrage after the death of George Floyd. I will read a statement from the commissioner, as well as one from the Coaches Association. So, I mean, this is... 2020 is unbelievable. I mean, 2020 has this decade, and let's just hope that, you know, these 6 months, the last past 5 months, is not indicative of how the decade is going to go. Because, you know, a lot of times people remember decades, you know, the 80s, the 90s, 2000s. I mean, this particular decade has just really gotten off to a bad start. And I mean, we can only hope that it gets better from here on out, but things are just really, really all over the place right now. We are still dealing with the COVID-19, although it may not seem like it if you turn on your TV and you see the thousands of protesters, peaceful protesters, some of them anyway, and we'll talk about that a little bit, but as you see protesters protesting taking place all over not only the United States, but all over the world. I mean, this morning I woke up and I saw a shot of what's happening over in London, New Zealand. I mean, it's just amazing how, and I mean, just like the coronavirus, I mean, you know, racism exists everywhere. Okay. So, I mean, we tend to think that it's only in this country, and it's not only, it doesn't only involve, you know, black people. I mean, it involves, you know, different minorities all over the world. I mean, racism is racism. Either way you define it, it is what it is. But anyway, so we'll talk a little bit about that. But mainly, I just wanted to kind of get everyone together and just sort of share my thoughts on what this playoff picture is going to look like and what's going to happen with the NBA. But first, let's just go ahead and jump into the George Floyd situation. I live here in Houston, Texas, as you should know by now, and that's where I record the show. And George Floyd was a native of Houston, so I know that next week they will have his body flown from Minnesota to Houston, and they will bury him here in this town. Today, there will be a march with his family. Now, I think we saw his family attend a service, or not a service, but his family actually went to the site where this tragedy took place in Minneapolis. So, addressed the crowd there that was peacefully protesting. And then today, that same family will be conducting a peaceful protest march at downtown Houston at Discovery Green. If you've ever been to Houston, you know Discovery Green is usually where everything takes place. A great place to hang out at. And so they will conduct a peaceful protest beginning at 3 p.m. and they will march from Discovery Green to the HPD headquarters. So now, from what I know, the mayor is supposed to take Mayor Sylvester Turner is supposed to be involved with this, as well as the chief of police, Chief Acevedo. So he's going to be part of that as well. But anyway, as far as peaceful protesting, I mean, I have been really impressed. Last night, I think I was watching, I was on a conference call with my brothers, and we were sitting there looking at a peaceful protest in Portland, Oregon. I mean, we're talking some, 1,800 miles from Minneapolis, Minnesota, where George Floyd lost his life. But I mean, I have to say that there were well over 10,000 people. Now, this was way past their curfew. I believe Portland, Oregon had a curfew last night, but you couldn't tell. I mean, and it was peaceful. There were people speaking. There were just lots of people there. And I'm really amazed and impressed with the amount of white people that are in support of protesting and taking a stand against racism and, you know, what we have seen here in this country. And just totally impressive, you know, I mean, totally impressive. I mean, it's just not, I mean, sometimes it appears, of course, it's always a black thing, but, you know, it just doesn't impact black people. I mean, you know, there are caring people in this world, and thank goodness there is, and people are really speaking out all over the place. But the one in Portland, Oregon was perhaps the biggest crowd I've ever seen so far throughout this. And this is just totally, you know, it sends chills through my body just to, you know, think about, you know, the good people that exist, you know, in this world and in this country. So, but anyway, the NBA has just never really been shy at giving their thoughts and opinions on matters of interest, things that they know will impact their players and fans. And I really like that about the NBA. David Stern was that way, and Adam Silver takes it in a whole different direction. I mean, and this is one reason why the NBA has probably, of all the professional sports teams, the NBA has the best relationship with its players, coaches, owners, as an organization. Just really, really up to date. Really, I mean, they let their players express themselves. I remember years ago when most of the NBA players were wearing a shirt that said, "I can't breathe." I mean, you know, while they were warming up for games. I mean, so they have really been out there in the forefront of just making sure that people know where they stand. They have no problems letting you know. So if you don't mind, I just want to go ahead and read a statement from the league commissioner, Adam Silver. And it is, "I spent the weekend watching the protests around the country over the deaths of George Floyd, Ahmaud Arbery, and Breonna Taylor. As a league, we share the outrage and offer our sincere condolences to the family and friends. Just as we are fighting a pandemic, which is impacting communities and people of color more than anyone else, we are being reminded that there are wounds in our country that have never healed. Racism, police brutality, and racial injustice remain part of our everyday life in America and cannot be ignored. At the same time, those who serve and protect our communities honorably and heroically are, again, left to answer for those who don't." So, I mean, those are comments from Commissioner Adam Silver. Now, I also want to read, because I don't know if this one was publicized as much as the commissioner's statements, the National Basketball Coaches Association. They issued a statement, actually yesterday, their statement. So, and I will go ahead and read that. "Witnessing the murder of George Floyd in cold blood and in broad daylight has traumatized our nation, but the reality is that African Americans are targeted and victimized on a daily basis. As NBA coaches, we cannot treat this as an isolated incident of outrage. We are committed to working in our NBA cities with local leaders, officials, and law enforcement agencies to create a positive change in our communities. We have the power and platform to effect change, and we will use it." So, amazing. Just amazing comments from both the NBA Coaches Association and the NBA Commissioner Adam Silver. So, as we all know, George Floyd, a 46-year-old black man, was handcuffed and unarmed as a white Minneapolis police officer kneeled on his neck for several minutes, despite several pleas that he could not breathe. And I would also add that several other officers were involved in that. So to date, the One officer with his knee on George Floyd's neck has been charged with third-degree murder and manslaughter. We do not know what is happening with the other three officers, but I would have to say that because we don't know what's going on with those other three, I think the protesting is sort of telling us that. And I think people are just really trying to express themselves in the most effective way possible. Now, let's address the violent protesters. Let's address those who are taking advantage of the situation, because I sat here Sunday night, and as people in downtown LA, and I used to live in Los Angeles as well, so I meant, and of course, who can forget the riots of 92 following the beating of Rodney King at that time, and I mean, it was just horrible. But, you know, as I watched Sunday night, I saw peaceful protesting taking place in L.A., as in with most cities that, we've been watching so far. And these folks have their signs, they're respecting the boundaries, you know, set forth by law enforcement. Law enforcement is sitting there. I mean, it's just basically a stare down, an intimidation tactic, which works. I mean, it worked with, you know, Dr. Martin Luther King and everyone else who have conducted peaceful protests and marching. I mean, it sends that message. While that was happening Sunday night in downtown Los Angeles, you could clearly see the looters. You can see the people who are throwing the Molotov cocktails and bricks and busting out windows of businesses and torching police cars and this, that, and the other. I mean, you know, and this sometimes overshadows what is really being intended. And I mean, the media. So, I mean, of course, okay, so I'm a journalist. I consider myself a journalist, and I have to be very careful how I, you know, tell a story, because I'm not really trying to persuade people one way or another. I think the whole purpose is to sort of put it out there. But I would have to say that it's just something about television, and this is why I like radio so much. I mean, because I'm not going to, you know, television will show you the same person busting out the window for 20 times, and every time you turn on your TV, you're thinking that, oh my goodness, they're doing it again. It's happening again, and it's not happening again. It's the same footage that they just continue to show, and that just drives me crazy. But then again, television has a way they're showing you that. Now, I mean, this is not scripted. They're showing you what's really happening, but it's just kind of how they show it. And they show it so much to where it's almost as if, well, this is what the protesters are doing. That is the message that is put out there. That the message is not, I mean, you could pan the camera, you know, maybe 200 feet away, and you got peaceful folks with signs and some shaking hands with the police officers, having conversations with the police officers. But they show the negative side of this. I mean, and I mean, I know it has to be shown because people need to know what's happening in their communities. But I just think there's a better way of putting that out there. I mean, you can show that footage, but you can also put a little narrative to it to say, hey, you know, this is why the National Guard has been called. This is why, you know, the government is thinking about this, that, and the other, because of these individuals here. These individuals here should be locked up. They have absolutely nothing to do with the protesting, the peaceful protesting. They are taking advantage of the situation. And of course, now we've heard now about this group, Antifa, whatever, you know, that is. And I can be honest with you, I've never heard of that group until the other day, but people who take advantage of a situation and folks that are, you know, they will incite these, you know, negative riotings and all of this stuff right here. But But it's a shame, though. It's a shame because I think the folks that, you know, are out there, you know, doing this. I mean, today technology will show your face, will show who, what kind of car you drive. I mean, they will eventually track you down and arrest you and lock you up and put you away as they should. But that is, you know, that it just really sucks that people take advantage of that. And you know, and it's unsafe for the regular protesters because they will get shot by rubber bullets or sprayed with pepper spray or this and that, you know, and that's unfortunate because they're peaceful. And then you will turn those people into, you know, potentially some of those folks into, you know, violent protesters because, hey, we came in peace and this is what happened to us. So anyway, totally unfortunate. I hope that things get better, although, you know, we still have a trial to go through. I mean, if you know anything about these types of situations and trials and how things may or may not go, you know, we could be, you know, looking at a protesting for months to come here. So, I mean, even though things are moving quick, but it's still going to be a while. I mean, we could be well into August before trials, you know, starts and everything. And, you know, but anyway, so just wanted to address that. But anyway, you know, I mean, people, you know, we have had enough of losing, you know, our black men and women. I mean, it's just a shame for no reason at all. It's not, there's just no such thing as innocent to proven guilty. There's no way. When you look at the videos and you look at how certain people of color are addressed versus others, it's just not fair. And it leads to, Martin Luther King III, I think he said it best a couple of days ago on CNN. He had mentioned something about, you know, you know, African Americans make up 13% of the population, but when you look at the prisons, jails, the African American population is somewhere, you know, 60-65%, which is totally outrageous. But anyway, let's talk about the NBA because I could go on and on about how I feel about this situation. But nevertheless, I just really wanted to highlight the fact that the NBA certainly is on it. I am certain, as they have always done, when they do come back, I mean, they got two things to address. They got to address the pandemic, and they got to address the injustices that are happening in this country. So I know for a fact that the NBA is going to do it. All of the players are doing it. So we have to stand by and see. Now, let's talk about the Board of Governors and what's going to happen. They are going to meet this Thursday, I believe that's June 4th, and they will vote on a possible 22-team competing in Orlando, Florida for, you know, the right to get into the playoffs. And I'm going to break that down, those the 22 teams. Obviously, you know, the 16 teams are the top eight teams in each conference, the West and the East. But it's those other six teams that will possibly get invited, and because they would represent the 9th, 10th, and 11th seeds right now in those prospective divisions. And so we'll break that down and see what that's going to be. But all indications are that this 22-team field competition is going to pass by the Board of Governors. So they're going to get this going. And then I'm sure come Thursday, we will have more details as far as what it's going to look like. Now, as far as, well, we do know that all of the players and teams will be in Orlando, Florida at the Disney Complex. And we also know that that's where all of these games are going to take place. There will be no traveling, no nothing. Everything is right there. So, but I think what we don't know is how they're going to deal with the continuing cases of possible positive cases of coronavirus and this, that, and the other, and quarantine, how does that happen, and all of this stuff. So I know, like, I was watching a report this morning on baseball. Baseball is really struggling with, you know, are they going to play 114 games? Are they going to play 50 games? So, and they are a long way from reaching some sort of agreement between the owners and players. But I know one of the clauses that was introduced with baseball was that a player would have the option to opt out of not even playing because of the coronavirus. Now, that is what I want to know, what's going to happen with the NBA. And then, of course, who those players could potentially be. I mean, so could you imagine, you know, let's just say, and this is just an example, well, LeBron James, you know, I don't know about this. I ain't feeling this. I don't want to play coronavirus. And you take someone like Giannis, the Greek freak, who says the same thing. So those are your two marquee players that may not play. I mean, it could happen. It doesn't have to be your big superstar players. It could be major impact players that might just say, you know what, you know, I just got to respect my family. I got to look at my own health. I got to look at this, that, and the other. I mean, as those players are in great shape, I mean, they would appear to be in awesome shape, but I mean, you know, still underlying conditions, I mean, are there, and something of a disease, and depending on what they experience after getting the disease could be very, very devastating. So, I mean, some of these players may opt out not to play in this tournament. So we'll see how that goes. But how about just one step at a time? So we get to Thursday, we see what the vote is likely going to be, which should be overwhelming that the NBA players will resume the playoffs. So and this play-in. So they'll scratch whatever remaining games that the teams had. And I think the NBA was close to about 80% done with the regular season anyway. But let's just look at the standings right now. I mean, I'll start with the Western Conference. The Western Conference standings, your top eight teams are number one, the Lakers, two, Clippers, three, Nuggets, four, Jazz, five, Thunder, six, Rockets, seven, Mavericks, eight, Memphis Grizzlies. Now, this is where it gets interesting because that's eight teams. So you're basically taking 11 teams from each conference, and your ninth seed right now is the Portland Trail Blazers. The Portland Trail Blazers, the New Orleans Pelicans, and the Sacramento Kings, they are all virtually tied. I mean, basically, there's just a three-way tie for ninth place. How about that? So they're all 21 and a half games out behind the Lakers, the first-place team. So, and what's interesting about this, I mean, I really like this. I hope this thing works because these are the teams that, man, that I did not want to see, you know, screwed over or didn't have a chance because, you know, just think about it from a health standpoint. I mean, other than in shape now, I would say, you know, players are in shape, their version of in shape. They're not in NBA game-ready shape, but they are healthy. Whatever injuries that were out there that existed, man, you're talking almost 3 months, you know, 90 days, almost 4 months of healing there before they even get, you know, to play. So I guarantee you that the playoffs is going to be interesting. So, I mean, the Trailblazers, I mean, you know, there were some trades that were made there. And I mean, that team is looking pretty awesome. And the Pelicans, I mean, Zion. Now, we can only hope that Zion has not been in his living room snacking for the last, you know, 3 months, because that would not do him any bit of good there. But let's just say, because that's a nice young team down there, and, you know, they could definitely make some noise. I mean, this playoffs is going to be very interesting. And then the Sacramento Kings. I mean, the Kings have just been looking great. And what Luke Walton is doing, Luke Walton knows a lot of these other teams. You know, he knows the Lakers and knows a lot of these players and have competed against these guys. So I mean, this is going to be interesting. And the thing with the Pelicans and the Kings is that they're young and talented. So I mean, this is going to be quite interesting. So those are your three extra teams there, and they're all good. And let's talk about the eighth seed, the Memphis Grizzlies. I don't know what I mean. We want Memphis in there because Memphis, during the regular season, had knocked down some giants. I mean, they were beating the Clippers, they beat the Lakers, they beat the Milwaukee Bucks. So we're gonna see Memphis in these playoffs. So this is gonna be interesting. And the fact that it's going to be, on neutral ground, this is very interesting because if you got those teams out there that are known for their loud noises and the crowds. Memphis got a good crowd. The Lakers got a good crowd. That's when they're not on their cell phones or if they're not star watching. I mean, if they're actually paying attention to the damn game, you know, things get quite interesting in L.A. in the last 2 minutes of a close game when they start playing, We Love L.A. So that gets to be interesting. And the Clippers, of course, you know, their fans have really, really been excited about this season. You can say the same thing about Denver, the Jazz, or the Oklahoma City Thunder. Good Lord, that place is so loud there in support of that team. Mavericks, all of them, you know. Spurs, well, Spurs may not make this cut, though. But what I'm saying is that the fact that they're going to be on a neutral ground with no crowd, this is the most intriguing part because you have players that may play to the crowd because they thrive off that, you know, that energy, that adrenaline, they like that, you know, or that, you know, introduction, pregame introductions and all of that stuff. Yeah, get all that. It's going to be interesting to see how they do that. I mean, there's nobody there to cheer, you know. From the University of Kentucky, Anthony Davis. Well, who gives a shit? There's no crowd there, you know. So, but I mean, the players, they're going to pump each other up. But that's going to be interesting to see. So let's just get to the East before I just really, you know, give you some thoughts on this. So, okay, in the East, the number one seed, the Bucks. The number two is the Raptors. The Celtics, number three. The Heat, number four. The Pacers, number five. The 76ers, the sixth seed. The ninth seed, the Brooklyn Nets. The eighth seed, the Orlando Magic. Just like the Memphis Grizzlies, the Orlando Magic's playing some great basketball as well. And I mean, right before the season ended, they were on a three-game win streak there. So now let's look at those three teams that will be included into the playoff elimination field. Your ninth seed is the Washington Wizards. Now, we're not really going to care about their 24-40 record because you know the East is the East. All right, so. They really shouldn't be in because the Hornets, which is the 10th seed at 23-42, and the Bulls, 22-43, all of those teams are horrible and shouldn't even be mentioned. But you got to be fair. You know, they are nowhere near as competitive as those 9th, 10th, and 11th seed that I just told you about over in the West, Portland, Sacramento, and New Orleans. The Wizards, the Hornets, and the Bulls, I don't know. But, hey, anything could happen. Anything could happen because just like in the East, I mean, just like in the West, these guys have been off for the last three and a half months before they pick up a basketball and begin to practice. And then they got to get in practice. Now, practice is where things could get interesting because they're getting ready to go from 0 to 60 real quick. They have not did any basketball-related drills. I mean, whatever they are doing, it's nowhere intense as it's going to be here in these next couple of weeks. And I'm sure when the Board of Governors meet on Thursday, they're going to be talking about this. They're going to be talking about exactly how the conditioning, because it has to be fair for all 22 teams, the conditioning It's going to be interesting, too, because they're all going to be practicing at the same place. So what the hell? I mean, this is really going to be interesting. So, I mean, I'm sure there's going to be a scheduled time of events for each team to practice this, that, and the other. And, you know, maybe there will be some Spygate, maybe not. I don't know, but this is really going to be very interesting. We're going to be happy to see it. You know, we want the NBA to come back. We want all of professional sports to come back. But either way, I mean, you can say it's a watered-down season. I think with these 22 teams, I think it's a fair playoff proposal because – but I think it's going to be interesting. I think it's going to be interesting. I mean, for the players, it's probably going to seem like just a bunch of scrimmage games, you know. But this is going to be interesting. So, I mean, we'll find out. But I'm okay with it. And but the only concerns I have is what players may not play. What players are going to say, you know, it's just not worth the risk. I don't want to do it. I don't want to get out there with Rudy Gobert. I don't want to get out there with all of the players that have tested positive for the coronavirus. So, I mean, so it's going to be interesting to see. But I do think that, you know, we know a whole lot more about coronavirus now than we did back in, you know, say early March, you know, when it first hit the NBA. So I think we're going to be in, you know, much better shape. I think that, I mean, the NBA, they have access to some of the best healthcare in the world. You know, they got the best doctors, probably. They got the best everything. And I'm sure whatever, there is no vaccine, but I'm sure when they come up with one, those players are damn sure going to have it. But so it's going to be interesting to see. I do like the isolation. Now, you know, it could take a toll with family members. I mean, because the typical playoff, I don't know how, and we'll find out Thursday. I mean, the typical playoffs last months. So I know the Disney Resort area down in Orlando, they have more than enough accommodations for families. And I'm sure families will probably be able to get in and out of there or might be there. But, you know, there's always that possibility of, you know, infecting people. So I'm sure they're going to address that. So it's going to be interesting to see, though. But I'm excited about it. And I think Thursday, all of us will probably be a little bit more excited about it. But, you know, the NBA always figures out a way. Great leadership there with Adam Silver, the coaches, the players. I mean, you know, we're ready for it. And I think it's going to be interesting. So now let's talk about, you know, what's likely to happen. I can't even begin to predict, you know, what's going to happen. Yeah, before all of this coronavirus stuff started, I mean, you know, we were looking at Lakers, Bucks, Clippers, Bucks. I mean, everyone's discounting the Raptors, you know, who had won four games in a row prior to the stoppage of play. And, I mean, you just don't know what's going to happen in this situation. And you don't know what players are going to get hurt. The Oklahoma City Thunder, they were on a three-game streak. As a matter of fact, they had the best winning streak leading up to the stoppage of play. I mean, they were the hottest team in the West at that time. So, I mean, just think about it. I mean, and here in Houston, the Rockets, and, you know, who knows what James Harden and Russell Westbrook has been up to. I mean, this is going to be interesting, folks. It's going to boil down to, you know, who's in shape. And the fact that it's going to boil down to who wants it more, who's going to take advantage of this unique opportunity. And don't be surprised if you see players step up that probably normally wouldn't have stepped up. Because, I mean, let's just look at rotations in the playoffs sometimes. Some teams go to a shorter rotation. Some teams go to a larger rotation. But let's just say, I mean, especially if players opt out and don't want to play, say any of your big name players don't want to play, the next man up mentality. And this is going to be interesting. I would expect there are going to be new superstars as a result of this. And don't be surprised at all if one of those six teams that are going to be added into this, the 9th, 10th, and 11th seeded teams from either conference. I don't think I have to worry about the East as much. I would be really concerned about Portland, Sacramento, and New Orleans. This could be exciting. And any one of those teams might make it far. I'm not saying they're going to win the NBA championship, but it's going to be pretty exciting. So with that, I am going to end this podcast, and I hope that you are, you know, I haven't mentioned much about the coronavirus, but I hope you're still practicing social distancing and washing your hands and all that great stuff. I mean, this is a commercial-free podcast, by the way. I normally would have my, I still might get a minute. Nope, I didn't. I didn't even allow any time for commercials. So this is what you're going to get. Okay. And how about we come back perhaps next week when we know a little bit more about the NBA and how this thing is going to break down. And then we're going to get into, you know, players and conditioning and hopefully we have some comments from players to get their thoughts too. So, hey, be safe out there. If you're protesting, please do it peacefully. And social distancing and protesting, those two just really don't go together. But, I mean, I'm hoping we don't see a spike in cases from the thousands of people that have been closely gathering. I mean, it is what it is. Anyway, hey, enjoy your day. You have been listening to the Sports Kings podcast here on iHeartRadio.